Glad that you are with us this morning at Wiley Methodist Church. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. And as Billy said earlier about this Right Now Media, I want to tell you, I've gotten in there, just gotten a taste of it. That resource is incredible. That is something that it really just kind of blew me away when I got in there and saw all the stuff that was available to us. If you want to be a part of that, like Billy said, you don't have to be a member of our church. But if you want to have us to have your email address, you can check the box there. You know, one of the things about, I've said this before, one of the things that's frustrating to me is I want to know every one of you. I want to know your name. I want to know what's going on in your life. I want you to know me. I want to know your kids, what's going on in their life. And as we get larger, it's getting harder and harder for that to happen. But I want you to know that's my desire, and that's the desire of our church. And if you want that as well, my door is always open. Now, we are a loving congregation, and there's a lot of loving people here, but there's a couple of knuckleheads, too. I'm just being honest with you. David? Where's David? David Gist. You can run, but you can't hide. Where are you? Right there. Well, I hate to point one knucklehead out, but there's one of them. Let me tell you why I say that. I was handed this by my wife. He handed it. He didn't have the courage to give this to me. What? Yeah, right. This is a Dennis the Menace cartoon, and the caption says, "Can we get a refund if the sermon isn't that good?" And Dennis is putting some money in the plate. So I'm just telling you, we have a couple of knuckleheads, not many. No. That's why we put the offering in front of the sermon. Yeah, okay. Well, we have a loving place. I feel like this is a family. I don't know what Cheryl and I would do without this church. And I hope that you feel that way about us as well. I think you do. But this is a great place to be, and we love it here and love all of you. If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church he started in Corinth. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We've invited you. We know that you're here. We know that you live inside of those that have asked you to live inside of them. Come and speak in power and authority and change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to tell you, I'm just getting real with you this morning. The name of the sermon this morning is "The Wonderful Cross." I cannot remember. I've had, I'm not sure why that's like enormous, but anyway, it's "The Wonderful Cross." I've had sermons over the years and different times where I felt like the enemy was really coming against that there was opposition to that. But it's been a while since I felt it as intensely as I have for this sermon. And I want to tell you why I believe that is. Because the cross of Jesus Christ is everything. And the enemy doesn't want us to get that, doesn't want us to understand that. And these are the type of sermons that make my wife very nervous, because I just told her earlier, I said, I said, pray for me while I'm up there because I have no idea what I'm going to say. So this could be a five-minute sermon, and I told Carlene with the children it could be 5 minutes, it could be 5 hours, so just buckle your seatbelt. No, it won't be 5 hours. Maybe four, but not five. The wonderful cross. You know, this summer, Cheryl and I had an opportunity, before I went to did my schooling in Duke, we had an opportunity to get about a week and a half of just vacation time. And one of the places that we went was New York City. We just wanted to kind of, we're not city folk, but we just wanted to see the sights, wanted to see the things that I guess all the tourists want to see, the Statue of Liberty and the 9/11 memorial and those sort of things. And one of the places that we went to was Times Square. And I'd been there one other time. This was Cheryl's first visit. And, you know, that place, it's just like what you see on TV, you know, on New Year's Eve, the ball drop. It's that, you know, the Times Square. And there's video stuff just all over the place. And people from all over the world come to Times Square. This video that I'm going to show you, a little short little video clip here, actually came from Right Now Media. As I was searching around, I found this. And the question was asked of people in Times Square, is there a heaven and a hell? Do you believe in a heaven and a hell? Watch this video for just a couple of minutes here.
When you die, you die. There's no more life in the body.
I just think that's it. You know, I have a very scientific point of view on it.
Turn to dust.
They get cremated, they get buried, they donate their parts to science.
We fall asleep forever, but we don't know. It's a mystery, it's a surprise.
We were produced by evolution.
We don't go to anywhere. I think it's like before we were born, you know?
Heaven is for those who repent and feel like they atone for their sins and then they go up to heaven.
I believe that we go into like the sky, like as clouds or stars.
I think if you're a good person, and you're an honest person, I think that you probably will go to heaven, right?
I'm not saying it doesn't exist, I'm saying I don't know. And I think the people who talk about it with certainty don't know.
I think it's nice to believe in that, because it makes you feel hopeful.
I believe heaven is a place that we'll be going after we die. If you commit to Jesus as your personal savior.
I don't believe in hell because it doesn't exist.
I don't believe hell is a real place. I believe that hell could be here.
I don't want to go there.
I think hell definitely does exist. There's hell on earth, there's hell in the afterlife.
Because if there has to be a heaven, and we all hope that there is, there has to be an opposite of that.
Maybe not like fire and like brimstone like you think, but more of like a state of mind.
I think that's a really horrible thought, and nobody on earth would be that horrible, and they shouldn't have to deal with that, you know?
I feel like hell's probably more like a timeout from heaven as opposed to somewhere where he sends people to suffer for eternity. Because like you said, I don't know how a loving God could send people there forever.
I think it's the person's decision.
I think people send themselves to hell because he gave us free will, so.
Depends on who they're sending. I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with Hitler going to hell. I mean, you know, what's the downside of that?
Well, if someone has done something really, really bad, like killed someone, so probably he would be sent to hell.
It's funny, they say God is almighty and all-powerful, but then they're saying, why would God do this? If he's almighty and all-powerful, why are you questioning him? You know, he does what he does, or she does what she does, or it does what it does, you know.
We make the decision, and once we receive Christ into our hearts, then we will go to heaven. Everybody has a second chance every day.
The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, this passage, a very powerful passage, there's a lot in this one verse. I want to just dissect it a little bit this morning. Basically, what Paul is telling us, what God is telling us, is that there are two responses to the cross. There's two responses. One is life, and one is death. The power of God to those being saved is life. That the message of the cross is the power of God to those being saved. Now, that word saved would tell us that we need to be saved from something. Yes? It indicates that we are a people, we are a broken people, and that someone needs to come to the rescue for us. And so the power of God for those who are being saved is the message of the cross is the power of God. The other is that message of death, foolishness to those who are perishing. As I watch that video, my heart breaks. Your heart should break. Does your heart break? I mean, people from all over the world, they have all these different ideas about heaven and hell, and we think here in Abilene, Texas, we're in the Bible Belt. We think, everybody knows. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody knows about Christ. Everybody understands, gets all that. I promise you that's not the case. I promise you that's not the case. Right here in our grand city, I promise you there are lost people everywhere. Not just lost people, but broken and hurting people that need the hope of Jesus Christ, that need the message of the cross. So let's talk for just a second about, we understand that the message of the cross, either you're going to see it as foolishness or you're going to see it as the power of God. The message of the cross. What is the message of the cross? And as if we grew up in the church, we've gone through enough Easter services and so forth that we've heard the gospel. But I've quoted the different where they've done surveys, and people, they've surveyed Christians, and it's like in the 70s, as I recall, it was 77% or so of people that if you ask Christians, how do you get to heaven? They would say by being a good person. Is that how we get to heaven, church? I've said this before, but I had a conversation with a man that was in leadership in one of our colleges, and speaking into young people's lives. And this man had been a pastor, and was now an educator. And what I call a universalist, which basically is like everybody's going to heaven. And so we're talking about this, and I just said, so why did the cross have to happen? Now this is in Abilene, Texas, ex-pastor speaking into the lives of our young people, and his response staggered me. His response was, well, first of all, I'm not sure the cross even happened. He doesn't believe in this. You don't believe the cross? Well, it may have happened. It may not have. I'm not sure. It may have just been a story to illustrate the love of God. And I said, if the cross didn't have to happen, what's loving about the cross? If the cross was not an absolute thing that had to be accomplished for our sake, what's loving about that? So let's talk a second about the cross, the message of the cross. By the way, church, we have been entrusted with the message of the cross. We, as God's people, have been entrusted with the gospel, and the gospel goes through the cross. You know, you may or may not have read all of this and understand it. You've heard probably in the gospels when Jesus was coming to the end of his life on the cross, and it says he gave up his spirit. At the moment he gave up his spirit, the Gospels record where the curtain in the temple was torn. I want to talk about that for a second. We skim right over that if we don't understand the symbolism of the curtain and what that was all about. We don't get that. The curtain that started with the tabernacle, ended up being later with when they built the temple. But there was a place where they kept the Ark of the Covenant, and that was where God resided in this place, the Holy of Holies, the Most Holy Place is another translation for that. But this Holy of Holies, there was a curtain that separated, and the only priest that could go in there, no one was allowed in there but the high priest. There was a high priest appointed each year, and once a year, through the sacrifice, the blood of animals, they would make these sacrifices, and they would be able to enter into the Holy of Holies through the curtain to be in the very presence of God to make atonement for the sins of the people. Are you following me? That's a lot right there in the Old Testament. But Hebrews talks about this. It says this: since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, there, that holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus. No longer did we enter into the holy of holies. No longer was it just the high priest who entered through the sacrificial blood of the animals, but now we enter the holy of holy places through the blood of Jesus by a new and living way open to us through the curtain that is his body. His body is the curtain that allows us access to the Father. So that moment that Christ gave up his spirit on the cross, the curtain was torn, which what that was symbolic of was we now through Christ, each one of us has access to the Father. Shake my head, your head if you're hearing what I'm telling you. So the only way that access was provided to us was through the sacrificial death of the Lamb of God. It was no longer the Lamb that, you know, that going all the way back to the Exodus when God brought the people out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. He brought them out. You know the story. You know, Yul Brynner was there, I'm pretty sure, and Charlton Heston. But it wasn't, that wasn't a totally biblical movie, but it captured most of it. And God said, when he was going to deliver them out of bondage, he said, take the blood of the purest lamb you have and paint the blood over the doorpost of your home. And when that happens, enter into that place. And when death comes, death will pass over that household. And that's what happened. That's why the Jews started celebrating Passover. That was the very heart of Passover, was that death itself would pass over the people who were protected by the blood of the Lamb. God made that permanent through the blood of his Lamb on the cross. Now, a church, here's the deal. I know there's even many in this room. We somehow, and I think it's the fault of the churches and the pastors, because we're not communicating this well. We place our faith in the traditions of the church or the goodness, our own personal goodness. You know, we think that, you know, and I'm not, I promise you, if you're longtime Methodist, I'm not slamming that, but we have traditions here in the Methodist church where we have the two candles and they're symbolic of the Holy Spirit and so forth. We always have an open Bible and a cross on the altar table. And we have these things, and those are traditions. It's cool. It's very symbolic. But I want to tell you, when I get face to face with Jesus, he's not going to say, did you make sure there was two candles and a Bible and a cross on your altar table? He's just not. And he's not going to say, well, did you follow John Wesley, founder of Methodism? Did you follow him? He's going to want to know if he and I had a relationship. Do you know me? Do you know me? I know you've done all these things, you've done all this stuff, and you've gone to church, and you've served me, and you've done all these things, but do you know me? Christ, through his sacrificial death on the cross, was allowing this opening so that we can know God. So that our sin no longer holds us back. The cross is precious. Do we know that, church? I was, for me, it happened for me when I really got that, was I was 31 years old and I was on a walk to Emmaus and I'd been raised in the church and somehow I'd missed it. And you've heard me say this before, I thought it was about being good. I thought the Christian walk was about being good. And guess what? I was stinking that up because I had a lot of sin in my life and I just wasn't the man God had called me to be. I wasn't the husband he had called me to be. I wasn't the father he had called me to be. I wasn't the employee he had called me to be. I was failing at my attempts to be good. And I remember I went out on that weekend. And there was a moment there when I, through this, it was through a communion service. And I just remember that suddenly I realized what Jesus did for me on the cross. I understood that the cross was costly, and he paid that price because he loves me and because he loves you. And it transformed everything. It transformed everything. I wanted to go to church even more so, but it wasn't for the reasons before. Before it was like, well, a good person probably ought to go to church. No, I wanted to go to church because I was just hungry for the things of God. I wanted more. I understood. That experience took me to my knees, and I understood that even though, as Paul says in Romans, he found himself realizing that he was a wretched man. And yet, God loved him anyway. And that's that place I found myself. I really felt like all at the same time, God was conveying to me, yeah, you're a wretched man, Jeff, but I love you. And I died for you. And I paid the price on the cross for access to a relationship with you. The cross is precious. I want to show a video. This happened at an event. Most of you, if you like Christian contemporary music, heard of Chris Tomlin, Matt Redman. These guys were at some sort of a big youth gathering. It's almost like, it looks kind of like the Christian Woodstock kind of deal. And there's thousands of young people. All the old people are going, I remember Woodstock. I don't want to know if you were there. But they're singing this song, The Wonderful Cross. The Wonderful Cross. And this video clip is actually 13 minutes long, and I've edited it down quite a bit just for you to get the flavor of it. But they began singing The Wondrous Cross. Go ahead and play some of that, Lee.
Oh,
That went on for 13 minutes, and before that was over with, the crowd at the base of the cross was just so large that people couldn't make their way down to it. The cross changes everything. Forgive us, Lord, for making religion what we place our faith in. What do you place your faith in, church? What do you place your faith in? We have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the cross is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I was at Duke, this has been back when I was going several years ago, one of my professors was a pastor, and he started up a new church in Durham, and he traveled all over the nation going to these successful churches who had built, from nothing. They'd built huge churches, and he went to this one in California, and this was a Methodist church. He went to all kinds of churches, but this particular one was a Methodist church, and he went to the church service, and he said there was thousands of people, and they sang, and there was a sermon, and they did all these things. And when they were leaving, he met with the leadership of the church, and he said, "I have a question." He said, "I didn't see, we didn't take communion today. Do you ever take communion?" "No, we don't." "I didn't see any crosses in the church. Is there a reason for that?" And he said, he'll never forget, the pastor said, "Well, we find communion and the cross, it's offensive to some. This is a church. It's offensive to some. It's all that death and everything. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to hear about that. So we want to talk about joy and praise and all these things." Let me tell you something. You can't have joy and praise until you go through the cross. The thing that gives me the joy deep down inside of me is because I know what Jesus did for me. I know how much he loves me, and I know how much he loves you. And if you ever are struggling with anything and you come to my office, let me tell you what I have to offer you. Jesus. The cross of Jesus. He's paid the price for anything that you would struggle with. Anything that you have done, anything that has been done to you, anything that will be done tomorrow, he's paid the price through the cross. And because of that, we have hope and joy. And I want to tell those people in Times Square that answered those questions. I just want to tell them about the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ. The hope that they have through the cross. Clay, where are you at, Clay? Please come up. Clay's going to, one of the things that we have, these nice, pretty brass and so forth. We've got all these pretty crosses. Did you know the real cross was not pretty? And it's a rough place to go. Clay's just going to sing the old hymn, the old rugged cross. And I want you to just bow your eyes, bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. I want you to, as he is singing this, I want you to picture yourself kneeling at the cross, when Jesus is still hanging on the cross at that moment. You're kneeling there with the women who were there and with Apostle John, and you're looking up at this act of love that could never be duplicated, could never be enhanced. As Clay sings this song, just picture yourself looking up at that cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world lost sinners was slain. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. And then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Some would say that our faith is a private thing. Stay with me. This is a very theological word. Bull. That's just not true. We have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cross is a precious place. It's a costly place. And until we come to the cross, we, quite frankly, we have no hope. At the cross, marriages can be restored. At the cross, depression can be cured. At the cross, physical illness can be cured. At the cross, joy can be restored. It's all right there for the taking. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice of the cross, the message of the cross. Father, may you show us, bring to us the people who the message of the cross is foolishness to them, because we don't want anyone to perish. The same heart that you have, put it in us, that no one would perish. Show us how to share the message of the cross. Thank you, Christ, for taking the punishment that we deserved. If there's any this morning, Lord, that have never received you as their Lord and Savior, I pray right now that you would just begin to penetrate their hearts, that you'd give them courage to say yes to you as you have said yes to them. Thank you for revealing to us the Holy of Holies, the place where we can come and we can have communion and relationship face to face with you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team will come as we sing this last song. Hang around for just a second. We're going to baptize Haley. If anyone else this morning. You know, I know it's odd, and we like to plan things, but if the Lord is tugging on you this morning and you feel like He's saying that you're supposed to be baptized, guess what? We got lots of water. The water is good. Come on in. So just, you can come and meet me in the back if that's you. Let's stand as we close.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches came, I count but lost, and poor contempt on all my pride. See from His hand, sorrow and love, low mingle down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your
Okay, you can be seated for just a second. Miss Haley, come on out here, girl. That's kind of slippery, so be careful. If you'll stand on that right there for just a second. Okay, Haley, you've already professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, asked Him into your heart. Now I just ask you, do you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. If you'll sit right down there. Mom and family, you guys want to come up here? Where are you at?
They're coming.
Okay, we'll wait. I don't want y'all to miss anything. And here comes the posse, the youth posse. Awesome, awesome. Okay. Dad, if you'll just kind of help me here, if you hold your nose, Haley. Haley, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Awesome. Just stay right there. Oh, girl, you pack them in, man. All right. If y'all can make your way, if you can't reach her, put a hand on her if you can. If you can't, just put the show on the shoulder in front of you. Lord, we thank you for Haley. We thank you for how you, long ago, God, when you were on that cross, you had Haley on your mind. Father, I pray that you would fill her from the top of her head to the tips of her toes with your Holy Spirit, God, that she would grow up into the lady you have called her to be and the plan that you have for her life. Empower her with your Holy Spirit. Bless this family and these friends who come to support her, God. We just pray rich blessings on all of them here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go and tell someone about the wonderful cross. We are dismissed. Awesome.